Reading is from Ephesians chapter 1 verses 1 to 14 and it's on page 1108 in the Pew Bibles. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Thanks be to God for his word.
Good morning, all. Are you doing all right? Are you still awake and alive and alert and enthusiastic? Ready for a two-hour preach? Yeah, come on! That's the... It is hot, isn't it? I am Scottish, and I may look happy in the outside, but I am complaining on the inside. It's too warm, did I've said it, an outburst. We come to this series on Ephesians, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit, just very briefly, about why we're in Ephesians. We have been in some, well, interesting times of late in Harper Baptist Church, haven't we? Haven't we been having a good time? Lots of things happening, actually, what's going to happen then? What's happening with Dave and Christine? What's happening for the future? And we're in this place of uncertainty, wondering what is going to happen. And when we were sitting down thinking about what can we do? What can we look at? What can we sort of pick up to help us get that sense of who we are, what we are, where we're going, the things that are always true? My mind turned to this letter, Ephesians. For me, it's one of those beautiful expressions of the sheer beauty of what it is to belong to Jesus. Not just individually, but to belong to Jesus as a community. It's a beautiful flow of some very beautiful ideas and rich in theology. You probably noticed that when Helen was reading it, didn't you? You think, oh my goodness, I'm lost already. Anyone think that? Yeah, after the first few sentences, what is he talking about? Because he gets into such richness. We need to know this richness for ourselves as a community of God's people. But even more so, we need to know this richness personally. Who we are in Christ. Who we are in a world which tells us that we should be something else. When there are so many messages around us, promoting this and that and the next thing, how we should speak, how we should say, how we should be, and what we should like, what we shouldn't like. It can be a very confusing place to be. But for the Christian, our ultimate identity is not whether we're a Baptist or a Salvationist or a Methodist or a whatever we are. Our identity is in Christ. And so for me, this book is something that I return to again and again. We need to be embedded in the richness of Christ. That little picture there of just that little, it looks like an oak spurt in someone's hand, just in a little bit of soil. That a picture of our lives we need to put into deeper soil so that our roots can go deep into Christ. Pictures of that first Sam, our roots going deep and being nurtured in the very essence and the things of God. There's been lots of outbursts recently. I had one earlier on just there saying it's too warm. But there's lots of... We were driving home from... Where were we driving home from? Sarah Colligan's 50th birthday party. Can you believe that Sarah Colligan is 50? I can't believe that for a second. No, it wasn't. It was earlier than that. Because, yeah, was it? I don't know when it was. It's too warm. But we were driving. It must have been when the football was on because the roads were absolutely deserted. It was like tumbleweed, and we were coming back from Wimpole Hall up in Royston, I remember now. And we were thinking, well, I wasn't thinking, my wife was thinking, I wonder what's happening in the football. And I said, well, I don't know, don't you asking me for? But we were driving through Hartford, and all of a sudden there was a, wah! That'll be a goal then. There's these outbursts of something primal, something guttural, that arose from the good public of Hartford when this football thing happened, and but you could hear it, and it emanated from these places of that had white flags with red bits, and I don't know what was going on. It's all a mystery to me entirely. But these outbursts, and I guess you can think of maybe times in your life where you've had a bit of an outburst. Can I confess to you the times when I most likely have outbursts? Do you know the roundabout near the Tesco in Hatfield? When that motorway thing and that 414 thing comes across from St Albans, and if you're coming towards Hartford and you have to get off the motorway and get round that roundabout onto the 414 to come this way. And you know something? Nobody does it right. Nobody does it right. Are you with me? I mean, it says on the road, A414. That's the lane you go into. And then you follow the roundabout round and you get onto the right road. Does anyone do it? No, they don't. It upsets me. It upsets me no end because I get frustrated and then I shout at them or I might beat my horn. You ask my children. Every time I go round that roundabout, an outburst. We get all sorts of outbursts in our life, don't we? Good, bad, indifferent, ugly, loving. Have you ever had a loving outburst? You just see the love of your life and you think, oh, don't they look resplendent today? Aren't they just looking gorgeous? Isn't that just the reason that we got together in the first place? Even when they've got bedhead and they've got a breath that smells like the of a dragon. They're just that, you just become overwhelmed just with the beauty of this other person that you've been in a relationship and there's something beautiful there. I've solved the bedhead now, I'm glad to say. Sometimes, even in the church, you get bursts of enthusiasm. I mean, we're not all for that here at Hartford Baptist Church. Bursts of enthusiasm. I mean, I noticed some people were even trying to clap through one of those songs. Did you notice that, worship band? They were even trying to clap. Just a little seed of enthusiasm, just ready to burst, but someone just patted it down and it was fine. We're okay, aren't we? Too hot for all that enthusiasm and clapping. I talk about these outbursts because for me, this first passage, this first chapter in this letter to the church at Ephesus, it is just an outburst of wondrous praise. You see, our outbursts come from within us. Our outbursts come from whatever it is that's going on in our heart and mind. And when we're so moved, we can't help but express it. Whether it's anger, frustration, love, enthusiasm, whatever it is, we can't help but express it. And as we discovered already, this letter starts with this outburst, this praise of thanksgiving for the riches that we have in Christ. It comes from the very depth of the author's being. Now, we have to get a few things out of the way before we start this series. Otherwise, we'll all be frustrated. People aren't sure whether it was Paul that wrote this or not. That's interesting, isn't it? We're not sure whether it was actually written to the church at Ephesus or whether it was written somewhere else. That's interesting, isn't it? But that's the context. And if it is Ephesus, then you're talking about being written to a place where there's all sorts of challenges going on in life, where this Christian community would have to really discover and work hard to find out and remember who they are in Christ. A place where there's a temple to the female goddess Artemis, who was quite a gritty, gruesome goddess by all accounts. And here they are trying to find their identity in Christ in this setting. But let's have a look at what is at the heart of everything that causes the writer, let's call him Paul for the sake of argument, everything that comes out of this first chapter. Listen to the heart of this spiritual outburst of praise and thanksgiving to the wonder of God. Are you ready for an outburst? Another one? I hope this is better than the last one, because that was pretty good, wasn't it? I got going there. But there's some really beautiful things that come out of this passage. It begins in verse 3. Sorry if that's a bit small. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. First sentence of this outburst of praise. I don't know if you've done your homework. Have you had a read through Ephesians yet? Anyone had a read through it? Some of you are nodding. That's very good. That's very good. But when you read this, it's very easy to read that whole passage and just to go through it and not really notice. But look at that. Look at that verse 3 there. Praise be. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Do you feel that this morning you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ? I mean, are we able to even get our minds around that concept? The fact that already sitting here, hot and sweaty, in a warm church, when we're easy, it's very easy to complain because there's no air moving around up here. Are we tuned in spiritually to the fact that in Christ so much has been provided for us, that we are immensely rich and privileged? I mean, we might not have two pence to rub together. That's not what we're talking about here. This is a richness about being found in Christ, about God sending, about God pouring, about God filling us in with spiritual blessing. The ones that we understand, the ones that we don't understand, the blessings that are still to come. It has been provided for us. Every spiritual blessing. And Paul sort of goes on to explain what some of these blessings might be. It's almost like this first verse starts to, just as the sort of very sharp end of the wedge, as he opens up exactly what he's talking about. The second one, just down there in verse 4, the very next verse, we are told that we are holy, blameless, because we are covered in God's love. One of my favourite lines from, I shouldn't really confess this, but one of my favourite comedians is Sir Billy Connolly. I think, for all his sweary words, I mean, he's got an interesting view on life. And one of the things he often says is that he went to the Roman Catholic school when he was young in Glasgow. And he says the only qualification he left his Catholic school was an A-level in guilt. And that served him well, he says. It's urged him on to more guilt as his life goes on. You know, we read verses like this in this first chapter of this letter, and we think, holy? Blameless? I'm not sure he's talking about me. I'm not sure he's talking about me in my life. Do you know the experience of guilt? Have you ever been guilty? Have you ever felt guilt? Have you ever felt shame because you peeped the horn a little bit too long at that particular woman? Or has there ever been that thing that you've nurtured and kept for yourself? That thing in your life that you know is contrary to the will and the purposes of God, but you nurture it and you keep it to yourself and you in your secret place, in the darkest places of yourself. And then when you're in situations where all the light is shining, it's all glorious, but actually you're sitting there with your guilt and your shame. Is that a human experience that you've experienced? And this amazing declaration, you're holy and blameless. And probably more is the point, it's actually nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with Christ and the blessing of salvation he's poured out. I'm standing here holy and blameless, not because of me, not because of my behavior, not because of any disposition that I have towards God, towards holiness or purity of life and heart, but because it's one of the blessings that Christ accomplishes. He bestows upon us his spiritual blessing. Have you ever been in the presence of someone for a long time? Perhaps your husband or wife or partner or good friend, brother or sister, or your parents, for example. And then you start to notice that you're becoming a little bit like them. You start saying things that they would say. It was like every now and again you speak and your mother comes out. Have you ever had that experience? Or your father? It's that process of there's two things going on. God has already accomplished it. He's already poured out this blessing of purity and holiness. And then, every now and again, we find that because of that freedom, we step in to that holiness and blessing and purity. And God is doing that work. Can you see why there's a spiritual outburst? Because here's Paul, knowing very well his rights and his wrong, all I once held dear, we sung it, those are verses straight from Philippians. I count everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. Everything in his life that he even considered holy, he recognized was rubbish in comparison to this thing that had just arrived upon him. If we were going to stop just there, recognizing that we were ultimately richly blessed in Christ, that we had everything provided for us, that he had covered us in his love and mercy and making us pure and holy so that we can stand before God and be welcomed by him as his son. I think even if you just had that as the content of your gospel, you'd be doing pretty well. But there's more. He goes on and he goes on. And I'm not going to go on and on and on. You'll be glad to know. But he talks about this transaction. You see, it's not just enough that God hangs a holy sign above us. He doesn't just hang a purity sign above us. He actually welcomes us into the family. Isn't it lovely to have visitors? You know, is it lovely to have visitors? And isn't it lovely when they go home? Yeah. I like to have people around, but I'm a rampant introvert. I like to go into my little cave and, you know, enjoy my own company. I'm all right to be with at times. You know, at times, sometimes it's a bit turbulent, but we get on okay. That sense of being welcomed in, we all know that some of the experience of maybe welcoming somebody else into our space. But some of us know of the transformative experience of having a child. And what it is to welcome another human being into your family and how your love extends and grows. And here's a picture of the way that God's love extends and grows to us. This picture of adoption is one of once you are no longer in the family, now you are in the family with all the rights and privileges and opportunities that actually affords. And no doubt the author was thinking of that Roman construct of adoption, where the one being adopted into the family would then become as integral to the family as anyone who had been born naturally into that space. This is what Christ is doing for you and me. No longer are we out there wondering what on earth we are doing on this planet, wondering who on earth we are. But we are discovering that we are brought into the very family of God and the very family of his people. And you're sitting here with some of them now. You know, what a weird bunch we are. Look at us. What a weird bunch. And we are being adopted through this act of Christ, through this desire that comes from the Father. It's one of these blessings that this adoption comes to us and we are brought in. And through this process of being blessed through the cross, through this process of being made holy, through this adoption, we discover in the process the most radical transaction takes place. The cleansing that comes from this process of being adopted, of being blessed, of being made holy, is the falling away of all sin. The falling away of all the things that harm us, that harm others, that are offensive to God, it falls away by His grace, a radical grace, a clean slate, an assurance with it. That sense of being chosen, that sense of belonging, that sense of being held in the very hands of God, pure and clean. I don't know if you're getting how amazing this passage is, how amazing this gospel is, how amazing this Jesus is, how amazing it is to be enveloped in this grace of God, which is for each and every one of us. But sometimes there's a problem. You know, I think that probably for the first, let me count it, maybe 10, 15 years of my Christian life, I struggled with the concept of grace. I struggled with the concept of blessing. I struggled with this concept that God would do this for me, that God would welcome me in this way, that God would provide this. There was something, even though I sort of intellectually sort of assented to the call of the Christian gospel, I knew that God loved me, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, I could sing the songs and do this stuff. There was a deep-seated thing in me, which I think was suspicion. Because there was that sense of, well, I can see how God would radically love June Scott. I can see it. I'm totally on that page. David agrees with me as well for lots of different reasons. But actually, I know me. I know me. I know what goes on in the inside of me. Do you know what goes on in the inside of you? I know me. And I was singing about grace at the top of my voice in beautiful harmony with my wonderful foghorn. But actually that deep suspicion is that no matter how much the writers expound the beauty and the blessing of Christ, no matter how much they talk about this holiness that comes and covers us as it stands in our place, no matter how much you tell me that I'm adopted into God's family, no matter how much you tell me that the sins are taken away, there remains that I'm just not sure because, you know, I know me. I know me. And I honestly started to discover what grace was at the point where I came to the end of me. At the absolute lowest point in my life, where I could see no other options in life, where I thought I was finished, I was exhausted, I was at the lowest, all my efforts seemed to count for nothing. It didn't matter how nice I was to people or how, you know, I just got to that place where actually it's all too much work. I cannot do this anymore. And, you know, and Sunday by Sunday, I would stand up in church and preach inspirational messages. But all along, I was crushed inside because the message, the radical message of grace, hadn't moved from my head knowledge and understanding through my experience into the very heart of me. And it was at the very bottom place where I discovered, wow, this really is amazing. Because here am I, not able to lift my head off the pillow, not able to do very much, not able to say very much, not even able to have a conversation with my children, my wife. Here am I lying here, nothing. And yet that strain of God's love and grace and mercy, and all the riches of Christ come flooding towards our being. And slowly but surely, the chords that, you remember the old hymn, Rescue the Perishing? When was the last time you sang Rescue the Perishing? Rescue, chords that were broken begin to vibrate once more. And my experience was getting to the very end of myself and all that I thought I could do. Getting to the end of myself and all I thought I could accomplish. Getting to the end of myself and all the things that I thought I ought to be for other people. That was the place where I discovered grace. And for me, grace has a whole new meaning because, I'm standing here. I'm standing here. And the desire that is bursting from within me is one of praise and just amazement because of what God is able to do in the human heart. What God is able to do. Well, not even through the whole passage, because we gain a new leader. We have the seal of the Holy Spirit placed upon us, assuring us that we belong to Him, that we are packed into this. He's got a tight grip on us with His grace, and He's not going to let us go. Absolutely amazing. And I'm wondering this morning, what are the levels of comprehension of this grace that you have for yourself today? A lot of us in this room have been coming to church for a long time. Have you been coming to church for a long time? We've been coming to church for a long time. You know, we've been grappling with this Christian thing for a while. We've been trying to pray. We've been trying to get a grasp on the Bible. We've been trying to work out what this community thing, and there's sometimes that struggle. And then we wake up in the morning with ourselves in our own situations. And I don't know where most of you are. I don't know how deeply you're able to dig into this radical truth that God loves you, whatever. That he is changing you, that He is blessing you, that He is transforming you in spite of you. I don't know if you're one of those Christians that feel actually, well, if everything's not happy and hunky-dory in my life, as Paul was saying to us a few weeks ago, not Paul in the Bible, but Paul not in the Bible. Are we able to recognize in those difficult places and those hard times that actually that's where often we can understand and appreciate the grace of God the most? Or are we still closed off to it? And what is our spirit response? What is our guttural response to this unfolding message of grace and redemption and salvation? Is there still a sense in which we're in rags, we're in the sackcloth, we're somehow impoverished because we just can't let go? We just can't let go of that sense of having to make our own tower, build our own building, make our own house. Or have we become abandoned to this work of Christ that He has entirely accomplished for us and that He pours out altogether? I don't know if you've heard of Thomas Merton. Have anyone heard of Thomas Merton? He's a Trappist monk, a contemplative. Some of you wouldn't agree with him. I don't agree with some of the things he said either. But he's got a couple of really interesting lines, and one of them is this. You know, he says, we spend our lives putting the ladder up against the wall and climbing it. But one day we come to recognize that the ladder was up against the wrong wall in the first place. We build our lives according to the sense of what we feel is in us and what we feel we can do. And then some point, that recognition, that Independence Day comes, and we realize that it's already yes and amen in Christ. What do you need to rehear? What do you need to rehear of this spiritual outburst of blessing and goodness? What do you need to take for yourself? What does our world need to hear? Our world needs to hear a lot of this in a confused place of identity and purpose and meaning, shame and guilt and all those other things. But if we don't possess it, if we don't realize that gift for ourselves, we can't then be messengers of that very same gift. The invitation of all Scripture, the invitation of this letter, the invitation of Jesus, the invitation of the Trinity is to find ourselves in Him, in the deep, deep love. and allow it to be poured in to the heart of even me. And as it's poured in, to allow it to touch everything within us. Beautiful picture in scripture of the river that flows from the throne of God, and everything it passes by, it touches and it comes to life, and there's blessing and there's abundance. A picture that I think God has for us this morning. There's an opportunity for us now to come before him. We're going to keep our seats. We're going to sing how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. And I want to pray this morning that in your life, in your heart, in your mind, there might just be an outburst of the Spirit's presence, that he would bring his healing and his balm, that he might bring all the riches of Christ in front of your vision, and you might be able to sing of that amazing presence and power of God. Let's sing together.